In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking today about two subjects, sort of related. One is step-parents, and the other is single mothers. I get letters from step-parents, and I get letters from single mothers. And since I've been both, I want to say a few things about that, about both of those. First of all, step-parents. A letter says, "If I could make a suggestion, I would like to hear you speak on a program or two about step-parents and coping with that new relationship. My wife and I are both Christians and are raising our children in a God-first home. I appreciate your advice and counsel. There are many times I'm struggling with my decisions about my wife working. She has a degree, but we are under financial strains. It never fails that when my wife and I talk about her going back to work, we pray and talk, and without fail, there is reference in your program about working mothers. We know the Lord wants her to stay home and manage the house and raise our children. It really does make a difference in the tone and attitude of my house." Well, I've talked quite a bit in recent weeks about working mothers, so I don't think I'm going to say anything else about that, since they both feel pretty strongly that God wants her to stay home, even though they are under financial pressures. But the new relationship of step-parents. I married my second husband when I was 42, and he was 60. He had three daughters. Two of them were married. One of them was a senior in college when we married. So that one, whose name was Catherine, spent only one summer with my husband and me in our home, the summer between her junior and senior years. And when she graduated, she was married immediately after graduation. So my only experience of actually living with a stepchild was that one summer. But there were a couple of eye-openers for me in that brief time. I couldn't have had a dearer, more delightful stepdaughter than Catherine. She was a brilliant girl. She graduated first in a class of 460-some from Muskingum College, and she was extremely cooperative and humble and sweet. But I discovered what I suppose every stepmother discovers, that different mothers raise their children differently. And it had never occurred to me to raise my daughter any other way than the way my mother raised me. Oh, there were a few exceptions, I have to say. My mother insisted that we clean our plates, and I decided that that's a good principle, but I made one slight exception to that. If I gave Valerie very small portions, and if she didn't finish that, then she didn't get any dessert, nor could she have anything to eat before the next meal. That was my rule. If she couldn't eat what was on her plate, then obviously she couldn't eat her dessert, and she didn't need anything else until the next meal. But in the case of my stepdaughter, Catherine, she came home from college, I think maybe a week or two after my daughter Valerie's summer vacation had begun. Catherine was 20. Valerie was 13. We had just moved into a new house in Massachusetts. My husband and I had been married 6 months. And so I began thinking through the summer schedule, including these two girls in my plans. Because we had just moved into a new house, I had managed to get the parts of it cleaned that were absolutely essential, like our bedroom and bathroom and the kitchen. There was still a lot of cleaning to do when the two girls came home. So I assigned certain rooms to Valerie, and I thought, well, I better start kind of easy with Catherine. So I gave her a bathroom to clean. Catherine was in that bathroom, I don't think I'm exaggerating, almost 8 hours. Now, I could not imagine what Catherine was doing in there. What I didn't know was that Catherine had never in her life been asked to clean a bathroom. Now, this was a pretty dirty one. The people who had had that house before had certainly not left it in the condition that one would want to leave a house. So there was a lot of scrubbing. There was a lot of tile. The fixtures were rather old, the kind that don't respond very readily to scrubbing. So she must have gone through the grout with a toothpick and gone into every corner with a Q-tip. I don't know what she did, but she did a very good job. And then I discovered that when the two girls were asked to clean the downstairs, that Valerie did her half much faster, even though, as I said, she was 13 and Catherine was 20. Finally, it began gradually to dawn on me that Catherine's mother had not required this kind of housework from her. Although she had three daughters, she herself had done almost all the housework. Occasionally, she would ask her daughters to do something special, and then she would pay them for it. If she had guests for dinner and asked the girls either to help fix the meal and set the table or to wash the dishes, they would be paid for that. And that was her principle. Well, that was not mine, and it was really an eye-opener to me to realize how differently people do things. I think poor Catherine was a little bit insulted when she realized that I expected this of her. It helped that she had a 13-year-old stepsister who was not insulted. I think they sort of helped each other. But that was a real eye-opener. It meant that my husband and I had to sit down and talk about these things. When I discovered, of course, that I was doing things so differently from his first wife, then I realized maybe I'm insulting him. Maybe he is insulted by my making his daughter work in a way in which she's never worked before. So we had to talk about those things, and I had to try to be sensitive to his own feelings about this. And we did manage to work them out. He was amenable to my suggestions. Then I remember another suggestion. Catherine got a job that summer, and she was saving up money for her own marriage because she was engaged at the time, and she was going back for her senior year in school, and she wanted money to buy clothes and whatnot. But I raised the question with my husband as to whether a 20-year-old who is working ought not to pay something toward the household. Well, he really was taken aback. But she's my daughter. She's my baby. She's my little girl. She was his baby. She was the youngest. You expect me to charge her? And I said, well, wait a minute now. There's a principle here. She is an adult. She's making money. If she weren't living at home, she'd have to be paying rent and buying her own groceries, wouldn't she? Yes. But my husband, of course, wanted her to be able to save the money that she needed to save. My husband finally agreed that this was a good principle, and we would charge her a nominal sum, certainly not what board and room would normally cost, but just, I don't know, $5 a week or something out of her much bigger paycheck. But I discovered, after a few weeks had gone by, that although he had told her that she was to pay us, when she came with the money, he didn't take it. Now, I disagreed with that. I thought, if you're going to charge somebody something, go ahead and charge them. I would have preferred to give her a check at the end of the summer covering the money that she had paid to us, so it wouldn't have cost her anything in the end, but the principle of the thing would have taught her a lesson. Am I too tough a stepmother? Am I the wicked, cruel stepmother? Well, maybe I am. But I'm telling you, this was the process that we went through in having to learn some things. And people are always asking me about being a single mother. I had to realize that God had allowed my husband to be taken away. My daughter was 10 months old at the time. She had no recollection of ever having a father. I had to be a mother to her. I could not be a mother and father. I didn't have the problem of having to choose to go out to work because my daughter could be with me in my work. I was a missionary, and I think it's an ideal situation for a single woman or a single mother because your work is your home is your work. You bring the people into your home, you go out to their homes. Wherever I went, Valerie went, so that was not a problem. But the question that has come in my mail is, what about unmarried mothers who have been saved out of a life of promiscuity and drugs, who spend their lives in loneliness as a result of their poor choices. They seem to be unable to find solace, complete forgiveness, and joy in the love of Christ. I think this is where the church needs to step in and really minister to these people. The church is there to offer fellowship, solace, the declaration of forgiveness, or absolution, as it would be called in some churches, and joy in the love of Christ. The church ought to do all they can to convince all sinners to come to the cross. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The church is there to lift high the cross, to fling out that banner. And that is my answer. That's the only answer that I can give, except that individual Christians, too, ought to be reaching out. And if there are older women in the church, those older women are, scripturally speaking, responsible to reach out to the younger women, to teach them, to be spiritual mothers to them. The elders of a church should be spiritual fathers. The pastor is a pastor. He tries to shepherd the sheep, but he can't do it all. How about you, older men and older women, considering those younger needy ones in your church, reaching out to them and fathering them, mothering them, for the sake of Jesus Christ.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.